Hey, welcome
Blog
to
Talk Radio.
There's that Blog Talk Radio blurb again, throwing off the timing. But because you see, when I call in to restart or start a new segment, rather. Okay, so here's the countdown. Your show will start in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, beep. And then, of course, when I hear a beep, I mean, hey, it's just like it reminds me of the old answering machines on the landline phones, or I guess on cell phones now, too. But when you hear a beep, what's your first instinct? To start talking. But you know what Blog Talk Radio does? They have this additional bumper where it goes, Blog Talk Radio, in that, like, computerized woman's voice. It's like, come on. I understand that they need to brand themselves. Okay, and inform the audience as to who's providing the service, you know, the technical infrastructure here, but for crying out loud, like anything else, it's like I got used to palletizing as a master's degree holder, you know, this this materials packer with the master's degree, just like how I got used to that, because economic realities and bullets. I'll get used to that. This additional bullock, so the Blog Talk Radio blurb coming right after that beep. So, at any rate, our call number at WPR Rebuttal is 929-477-3965. I'm your host, Senator JPO, and the whole purpose of WPR Rebuttal is to examine the news that has been published in the Wisconsin Public Radio website. I don't really... listen to the radio per se, but I do know that WPR puts its newscasts in article form. So I read the articles, and I actually like reading better than I like listening, because then I can go over and double-check what was actually said by a writer or, you know, said by a broadcaster. It's a transcript. And then, you know, I can go and fact-check it, and I can see what they missed. And sound like, hey, did I imagine that they did not mention this part? It can be like, oh, no, they really did. But, okay, so I'm going to be tabbing through these different news blurbs I have, but I'll be tabbing back to Blog Talk Radio dashboard, because I can only see when a caller is in by going to the dashboard. And if I switch a tab or a window, then I have to go and switch back to see, you know, callers on hold. So... that's my only notification. So I always have to be looking back at the dashboard. And if I'm looking at the notes, then, you know, I usually see you before you're on hold for more than, like, a few seconds. But, okay, so now this next segment is about the cannabis climate, right? So, okay, what motivated this guy, Denzel McDonald? He goes by the... I guess unintentionally humorous name, King Shabazz. I mean, come on. The only other person I know with the last name Shabazz is the widow of Malcolm X. And that guy is no, it's Denzel McDonald, okay? He has no relation to Malcolm X. He has no relation to Betty Shabazz. So why do you call himself King Shabazz? I mean, maybe a pro wrestler nickname, but whatever. The guy doesn't actually, Denzel McDonald is not a pro wrestler, at least as I could find on an internet search. So, okay, so, you know, there's this protest by the students saying, free McDonald. Kind of reminds me of, you know, back in the times of Christ, right, when people were chanting, free Barabbas. Similar situation here. And when the, you know, the law-abiding people, bring up the school of work outcomes and how that those can be improved. Well, you know, a lot of the same student protesters who support the criminal who vandalized the campus, you know, a lot of those same people would get offended by the insinuation that there needs to be an improvement in school of work outcomes, and they'd be very nasty and verbal and just very confrontational about the idea that, you might need that assistance, but I'm so arrogant that I don't believe that I need it either until I end up also on a boomerang generation after I graduate. Because obviously they're not thinking that they will end up unemployed, but a lot of them do. And it's kind of like it's awful when they realize it after a fact. They're trying to help everyone realize it before it's too late. Because, you know, that's the critical window, is to realize that if you aren't getting hired into internships, or you aren't getting placed in the jobs or anything like that, not even LCE positions. I mean, student-only positions are bad, but internships are better because they're not by the campus itself. The internships are hosted by third parties that are off campus. That's why they're better, even though they also do not allow for unemployment benefits. But circling back as to the illogic as to the protesters supporting pretty much a documented criminal, where I mean, there's definitely a lot of evidence. They've confirmed it's him. And I mean, as part of the plea, I guess when you say no contest, you're pretty much admitting that you did it. So no contest is guilty for sake of doing a criminal background investigation. So he has somehow arrived at an agreement with the district attorney, where he'll end up in alternative juvenile court. Now, how in the world, how in the blazes does a man in his early 20s end up with juvenile court proceedings? I guess it's not juvenile court, it's alternative court, okay? Alternative court proceedings. I mean, come on. It's a UW system code violation, chapter 17, non-academic misconduct, right? So if you vandalize off campus, and you can be charged maybe under a municipal ordinance, or you can be charged under like the state ordinance for disorderly conduct or whatnot. And he's very lucky he wasn't charged with the state court for disorderly conduct. Extremely lucky. But this logical pathos. Yeah, you know, from district attorney's office. I mean, they essentially were browbeaten, like Pilot was browbeaten by the crowd about freeing Barabbas, while the district attorney more or less freed Denzel McDonald from any real accountability by saying, well, you know, if you're really ticked off and it's a crime of passion, then, you know, it doesn't matter because it ain't premeditated. But no, crimes of passion are just as criminal and just as serious as premeditated crimes. The only difference is that with premeditated crimes, occasionally they add like a hate crime amender, but if it's otherwise premeditated, that distinction of at the moment or spontaneous versus premeditated or planned, that distinction does not really matter unless in the case of homicide. So more or less like any, you know, vandalism, it doesn't matter if you do it, well, you know, smash a bottle on a parking meter and then do a karate kick to bend that parking meter. Well, it doesn't matter if you're playing that for months or if you just had a bad day and wanted to wreck some stuff. So that's my whole point about the illogic of the district attorney. And, but you know, I mean, human resource employers, again, a lot of them might not be dissuaded by that. Only because of McDonald. Oh, if you or I were to do that, human resource people would be dissuaded. But because the media have made Denzel McDonald or King Shabazz to be this hero, you know, or anti-hero, more accurately, you know, some human resource people are going to take a warm, fuzzy view, and, you know, they're going to hire with their heart instead of their head. And they'll bite them in the, you know what, it'll menage their posterior, or that their derriere, rather, at some point. Because, you know, it's been too recent, and that really has to settle in, and the lesson will not settle in given the slight punishment. It'll, I'm sure at some point, and I'll be tracking Denzel McDonald's career. You know, if he gets a LinkedIn profile, I'll definitely been reading it from time to time. I'll also check the CCAP online circuit court access for additional convictions here, but bottom line is that I'm fascinated with career development and why certain people seem to be allowed more opportunities than others despite having more mess-ups in their personal, criminal, and or occupational history. As to what his occupation is, it's just a full-time student. If he had another occupation other than full-time student, the articles would have said. But, here we go. Okay, so I'm looking at this WPR article by Parth Shah, and the date of this article is April 22nd, 2016. And, okay, so, you know, it looks like the UW Chancellor herself had problems. But okay, so in contrast to District Attorney Rebecca Blank, Chancellor of UW Madison, is quoted as saying, "Embedded in the student demands, in our words, the student demands for the dismissal of not only the charges, which they were sent to alternative court, but also for the firing of the police officers, the one officer who pulled them out." I mean, that's just, okay, so those are student demands. One of many they had written on a list. But so back to Becky Blank's quotation here. "Embedded in student demands are requests for actions I do not believe are reasonable or even lawful for me to take. In fact, several of the demands seek to apply authority that the university does not have under state law or under UW system policies and procedures." And that's true, because the students do not have a say as to the, law enforcement, human resource administration. You know, students should stick their nose out of the blue code. I mean, or the blue line of service, is what they call the honor code of the police department, where essentially, you know, those students who are, you know, advocating for, you know, have some say as to who gets hired and fired. I always suspect that they're inviting a lot of trouble, because I'm sure the police will look at their names and faces from the media coverage. And, you can bet that they'll be questioned, because you just don't poke the hornet's nest like that. You know, try to befriend law enforcement, why don't you? Law enforcement is not your enemy unless you're actively committing a crime. If you had committed a crime, then maybe you already served your sentence. I mean, if you're on probation, law enforcement is not going to be your best friend, and really they'll suspect you of a crime if you're on probation or parole and you try to report a crime. So it's maybe not worth it, you know, to deal with police at all, even if you're a victim while you're still on probation or parole. But once you've served your time and you're no longer under community supervision, then, law enforcement should be your friend. And if they aren't, then maybe try to see if you can move to another place, or maybe the local police force does not see you as having a bad reputation. And then, you know, even if your job isn't any better, your police relations will be. And, of course, support your local sheriff. That's an old phrase, but it's true. You know, help law enforcement, and they'll help you, more or less. Okay, so what else about the commentary? Okay, so, this is funny. Becky Blank put her foot down against the protesters, and, you know, I mean, not to the same extent as to what Ray Cross is doing system-wide, but, I mean, that's one thing where I thought, we'd never see a day where, a Madison chancellor reckons with reality, but Blank came around and just told the protesters, look, this is reality. You can't go and butt your nose into responsibilities that aren't yours. You can't just bully us. You can't bully the administration into doing what you want. You can't bully the police department. That's for damn sure. And here's what I have to say. So I commented on an article under the user handle Senator JPO. So putting her foot down against the protesters is one of the few things in which I agree with Blank. How will the kids learn personal responsibility if they can cry and protest their way out of punishment for poor decisions they made? Now, for a chancellor to understand personal responsibility is not exclusively a determinant of one's post-college career outcomes, because honestly, personal responsibility is just but one factor. It's a lot of the hive mind, the human resources. It's a lot of their prejudice against individual personalities, not necessarily prejudice against entire EEO groups, but just a lot of people, if they have maybe the wrong impression put upon them, because, you know, it might be just one communication gaffe, or even the slightest body language, or if you're a taller person, you're a masculine man, they might think, they're indoctrinated at university, you're a potential a draper, because chances are you're a potential violator, right? There is a stealth reference within the R word. If you take away the D and remove you know, the ER and add an IST, then that's like a stealth reference to what they, some of these brainwashed human resource people think about masculine men. Well, it's true. I mean, why don't men get hired for municipal clerk? I'll have to do more research on that for another podcast. It'll be exclusively as to men having difficulty getting hired for municipal clerk or bookkeeper or whatnot. But, okay, so, yeah, again, why does the, you know, the chancellor at UMass, Rebecca Blank, and why do student protesters think that, you know, getting a job can be entirely in one's hands when it's not? Well, the reason why getting a job is not entirely within one's power, at least not getting a good job. I mean, if you find an HOA labor recruitment, and if you have transportation, then you have power to get a job. It'll be a really crummy job, but I actually worked on those HOA labor vacancies last autumn. Holy mackerel. That's an issue for another podcast. But so now getting a better paying job involves negotiation as to why one is better than others for a job, which I have no problem doing. Man, I can be a braggart with the best. However, it can't be a braggart in any part of the selection process because, you know, at the same time, it's like a catch-22. You have to say why you're better than others for a job, but without coming across that you're saying you're better than anyone. So it's like, gosh. And then it's kind of like, you know, everyone's saying, well, I'm the best for the job, I'm the best for a job, without taking the metaphorical cudgel to your opponents. And I think that's why human resource people don't disclose who else applied, because they don't want people going out and sabotaging the transportation. They don't want people going out and poisoning the other job applicants or anything else like that. Although it makes for a nice murder mystery novel, but it won't really fly in real life. So entry into a career is therefore a much more complicated process with more variables that are beyond the graduate's control. So let's stop defining underserved in terms of race, sex, or other EEO status. Let's start defining underserved in terms of occupational prestige. Because there are many higher privileged people. Many of these higher privileged people, okay, putatively defined by the so-called underserved or underprivileged, but these higher privileged people cannot pass interviews due to communication disorders, due to idiopathic image problems rather than group-wide discrimination, and just by giving you a job interview a bad feeling from who knows what. There are probably other reasons I'm not privy to because, hey, human resource people haven't called the show. If you work in human resources, by all means, call or show WPR Rebuttal at 929-477-3965. I should advise you that we have like 11 minutes remaining, so call in now to assure you that you have some time to talk. Okay, so perceived shortcomings of the individual as opposed to group-wide prejudice, okay? Now, how do you overcome those perceived shortcomings? Well, as I was saying in segment one, you know, get yourself to a temp agency and just get that full-time work history established as soon as you can, because an earlier, longer-running full-time work history compensates for a lot of perceived shortcomings. And I know this because I've worked with so many people. I mean, not just blue collar, but also white collar. Even though they're supposed to be in customer service or they're supposed to get along in office, they never smile. And a lot of them will avoid eye contact, or if they do make eye contact, then they'll look absolutely ticked off, or they won't really want to talk to you. They'd rather prefer to eat alone during lunch and so on. And it's just like, you know, that they got the job despite their personalities. I cannot imagine a human resource manager who would want to hire people with those personalities. They probably hired those troglodytes, is what I call them, these antisocial professionals. Like, I was one being an antisocial professional anyway. Gosh. I mean, if people thought I had communication problems in college, I mean, I look like Zig Ziglar compared to some of the people I met. I won't badmouth those of my current employer, but I'm just saying is that, you know, rotating through my first few jobs through a staffing agency, you know, I met some people, and, you know, this really, they have no interpersonal skills. I mean,
I guess their definition of effective interpersonal skills is like, you know, grunting and waving your hand or saying, "You, no, don't do that." Just, you know, these vague grunts, you know, and yelling if you do something wrong. But, you know, heaven forbid that you actually talk as acquaintances, or heaven forbid that you acknowledge each other when your arm's in the air and everything is running smoothly. I mean, yeah, it's like, you know, some people, I know for a long time, there's this one coworker where he would not, originally tell me, "Oh, good job, Joe, good job." And then eventually, somehow he just got ticked off. He had a personality change. I think he used to do drugs. I don't know if he's back on the drugs. But the whole bottom line is that he had a marked personality change. He's been really cold. And, yeah, I never talked to him after that because, you know, I wasn't making any errors. So, you know, I mean, he had no reason to speak to me because I wasn't making any errors, and I never spoke to him on the job again, despite the fact that, you know, we both stayed in the same department. So, okay, getting back to some of the comments I made on the April 22nd WPR article. So Yoy Madsen, Chancellor Rebecca Blaine calls protest demands unreasonable, and I would add rightfully so. They wanted to free Barabbas. The district attorney caved in, but the chancellor would have nothing of it. So, kudos. So now, you know, longer running full-time work history, which now Denzel McDonald with his conviction pending on the pipeline here, because he is in court. He's not getting totally off free, but, you know, it's going to hurt him. I know. It should hurt him, at least logically, unless he finds that touchy-feely human resource person who, like, "Oh, well, you know, it ain't his fault. It was a crime of passion," even though for most other people, a crime of passion is their fault, but whatever. He needs to take ownership, and I think that's the key thing. That's what the caller from the UK in the second segment, that's what he said, whereas this other colleague of his was hired. I mean, he's only at McDonald's, but still is, you know, better than jobless, especially when, you know, if you never have unemployment insurance, like if you're foreign student worker who graduated, then you don't have any weeks of UI. So you're going to have to, you know, get to a staffing agency ASAP if the local McJob joint doesn't hire you. So, okay, so now what happened with, you know, I guess on the next podcast I can go over, you know, the specific terms of Denzel McDonald's sentencing and stuff like that. It'd be funny if one of the terms of release was for him to get a full-time job. Well, easier said than done, but especially when it's just like, "Well, why are you wanting a job?" "Oh, because the probation agent told me to." Yeah. Well, good luck on probation, Denzel. Don't break any 35 rules or any of the additional they can impose on you. But if any of your probation agents tells you, "Well, never mind what the Bible says, the Bible doesn't matter," well, you can blow that back in the face of the probation agent and get a few weeks off. That's true. I'll have a podcast about probation agents at some point, but that's just a funny inside reference I made about, you know, certain probation agents that get full of themselves and they end up making stupid mistakes like that, telling a person to not follow their peaceful religion. So, I mean, if the guy is a follower of Islam, I mean, not the radical type, but, you know, an probation agent tells him, "Well, what the Quran says doesn't matter. You have to listen to me," and boom, he can just throw it right back in a probation agent's fat face. And most of those probation agents are grossly overweight. I'll say that now. Now, I have a friend who's grossly overweight who just hired as an insurance customer service rep. Now, he's a cool guy, okay, but a lot of probation agents, they have a nasty attitude. So there's not even a personality to salvage the grotesqueness. There's also the arrogance torture of even looking at them or listening to them. They're so annoying. They're worse than Roseanne Barr. I mean, it's like her times negative 10. But anyway, and you can tell I'm throwing out a lot of tangents here to, you know, see what callers hook on to. If you have any remarks, like if you want to stick up for any of the people who I just excoriated, our number here at WPR Rebuttal is 929-477-3965. And we only have like 4 minutes left, though, so I'm just mentioning the numbers so that you can write it down. If you're eating lunch right now, go ahead and finish it, because I am going to be ending this segment in a few minutes. And I have this nice salad here I made myself. Is it iceberg lettuce, red cabbage, with some cheddar cheese, shredded cheddar cheese, and a few Ritz crackers, and just a slight dollop of light ranch dressing. You know, I might make this a regular part of my podcast, mentioning what I'm eating for lunch, but it's usually the same thing. I might add a can of tuna fish now and then, but yeah, I eat very healthy. I stay physically fit in my palletizing job, so really, you know, I'm able to save enough, especially by operating lean here, spending not a dime on the podcast. So, you know, I'm actually pretty happy with my life, despite the fact that UW-Milwaukee killed a lot of my career potential. It did. And I'll have a podcast about UW-Milwaukee later on. Not today, but in the future, just like I'll have a podcast about probation agents. But so King Shabazz, who's really Barabbas, Denzel McDonald, now, you know, he'll be convicted next week. Or not next week, but, you know, he'll be convicted by June. I mean, because they're not going to drag it out that long. And he said he pled not guilty, so it's just going to be sentencing. It's not going to be a long trial or anything. So the protesters at UW-Madison, and a similar extent to UW-Milwaukee, but UW-Madison gets more press because, well, they're UW-Madison. Some subtle discrimination by the news media because, you know, Milwaukee sucks. It's a political university, but whatever. UW-Madison isn't that better. The only thing UW-Madison really has going for it, besides all the GPR and research, the only other thing it has is access to the state of Wisconsin government offices. So if you want an internship in the state of Wisconsin government, then okay. But don't major in public admin because if you somehow end up without enough internships, then that public admin degree will be a waste. You need something where you can fall back on it and work outside the government, because trying to get into government is like nigh impossible for a lot of people, degree or no degree. So now what should the protesters be advocating for instead? Well, every UW campus should provide more internships. Every UW campus should consider capping enrollment in programs that offer internships but do not offer enough to give one to each student each semester, because some students are internship hogs. You know how it is. There's a lot of polarization. Some don't get any, like me. That's the way I turn out, unfortunately. And I know others, they get like three or four, and it's just very little middle ground. And it's frustrating because I didn't go to college to gamble. I went to college for reliability and stability, and if they're going to make it a gamble, then crap on them. Okay, so when we get back from our break, I'm going to give some advice as to what to do about, some advice to the protesters. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Advice to the system protesters, and that'll be the title of the next segment. So, all right, I'm going to wrap up right now, and I'll see you in about, let's call it 1:43. All right, see you then.